So as we continue the story, nothing has happened yet, except Zechariah can't talk and Elizabeth is pregnant. However, at her age, that is something, and they have a promise that a baby will be born, and they are to name him John, and that he will prepare the way of the Lord, turning the hearts of the people towards God. But that hasn't happened yet, and all we really have is a man who is suddenly mute and an old woman who is pregnant. They still live under Roman rule in occupied territory. Life still continues on. They didn't suddenly get an inheritance that makes life easy for them. Things did not change in their world. But this angel Gabriel has been pretty busy, and he's doing heavenly work these days. Next, we find him in Nazareth, where the young woman Mary lives. Now, Mary's a virgin that is engaged to Joseph, who is of the royal house of David. Suddenly, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." When Mary is confused and wonders what is happening, Gabriel tells her to fear not. Again, reassurance comes to Mary before he gives her the message. Don't be afraid. Trust. You'll be okay. And we have learned that fear not is a significant message that we carry with us all the time. Then the angel proceeds with this most amazing message. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary has questions. How can this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." This all seems surreal, and I dare say that none of us is a virgin giving birth to a baby. But the truth is that God comes to all of us in the same manner. When we wonder how it can be that God will use me, that God is asking me, whether it be to go to a conference or whether it be to take up a new profession or any number of things that come before us, God comes to us in the same manner. And when we wonder at how it can be that God will use me, the same answer is true. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The presence of the divine is with us and within us. And it's in the power of the Holy that we are able to live out God's purposes, whatever they may be. Well, Gabriel also tells Mary that her old relative, Elizabeth, is also pregnant. And then he says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary responds with, "Yes. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." I don't really think Mary had a clue what she was saying yes to. In the moment of God coming all the way to her, she said yes. But yes, before she understood all the implications of that yes. Yes to criticism and shame as an unwed mother, young and pregnant. Yes, without talking it over with Joseph and making an acceptable plan that would appear acceptable to the village in which they lived. Yes, to going to Bethlehem and hunting for a place to give birth. Yes, to being the mother of Jesus. Often at Christmas time, we sing a song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know what your baby boy would grow up to be? And while the angel told her that she would be the mother of the Son of God, I dare say she didn't understand what that would mean. I dare say she did not have a clue about the pain and sorrow that she would endure, that what would be her lot in life, because she said yes to the angel Gabriel and bore the Son of God. In my experience, that's true for me as well. I rarely understand the full unfolding of the message that's given to me. I rarely know what is next. God comes and we say yes. I think we say yes more to the journey of walking together with God than we say yes with full understanding. We say yes to the next step, but only the next step. And we really don't know the full implications as they unfold in our lives. And yet we know that God is present with us as they unfold, walking with us and leading us day by day, step by step. I love the next part of the story because Mary goes to visit Elizabeth for about 3 months. And at their meeting, the child in Elizabeth moved and was filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." As these two women came together, they created space for each other to wait. They affirmed each other that something was happening, even though they didn't understand it all, even though they didn't know all the full implications of what that would be. Something was happening that they knew. And something was happening that was worth waiting for. And together they could wait. Here we see a model for Christian community. It's a community, albeit of two in this particular story. It's a community of support and celebration and affirmation in which they can lift up what has already begun, and how we too need that same kind of community. When God moves within us and we feel a sense of leading and a knowing and I must, we need a community that meets with us, that says, yes, I have felt that stirring within me as well. No, we don't always know the implications. But I affirm that God is with you. And we wait together and watch the unfolding and listen. It's what it means to be community, to be together, to gather around a promise, and to affirm what is happening within us. Yet even in her wonderings about what is next, Mary speaks prophetically. In Luke 1:46-45, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I read the full Magnificat at the beginning of worship, so I won't repeat it here. But as she speaks prophetically, even without fully understanding, I think, what she is speaking, God has come to her. But what about Joseph? We find the story of Joseph in the book of Matthew. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. Presumably, it is common knowledge in the town. And Scripture tells us that her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. What does it mean that Joseph is a righteous man or a just man? Most translations have used that he would be a just man. We generally assume that one who is just is one who obeys the rules and does what he's supposed to do. He obeys the laws. But according to Old Testament law, Mary should be stoned. So this just, righteous man planned to break the law and dismiss her quietly. In the beginning of verse 20, we find that Joseph is thinking about things. Various translations translate that as he was in thought, he considered, he had resolved, various different words. But often meanings get lost in translation. And translators have had to pick a meaning, and it hasn't always given the full understanding that would have been apparent to the original ones hearing that word. The Greek word here can mean that he became angry and upset. We sometimes make Joseph out to be a patient, kind man. But he probably was angry that Mary had obviously slept with a man and now she was pregnant, and what was that going to mean? But he decides that he's going to respond with a justice that is compassionate, and that he's willing to break the law and let Mary live, albeit not as his wife. And if we take what could be a more accurate translation of verses 20 and 21, it would read as this: "But while Joseph fumed over this matter, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" So Joseph is also told what is going on, another confirmation through the community that comes ultimately to Mary and to others. But the message begins with the admonition to fear not and to trust God's unfolding story. But we also see that the message comes not when he is in a personally good space and ready for it. It comes in the midst of his emotions and frustration, even in the midst of his anger. I love that we don't have to be all nice and at our best personal space before God can come to us. God comes to Joseph just as he is, even with his raw emotion. The same thing is true of us. And I would ask that we not whitewash the biblical story and make it all nice with everybody with perfect emotion. Because in so doing, we remove the hope that God can come to us as well, and we know that we aren't always our best selves. Today's story ends with, when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. So Joseph did a very bold and courageous thing in taking Mary as his wife. He stood up to the community of Nazareth. At least some in that community would have stoned Mary. But after God came to him, he responded with the justice of compassion. He found a way to move from anger to grace. You know, life will often seem unfair to us. And the truth is that God's coming doesn't make everything easy and right. Yet in listening to God, we find our next steps. And accompanied by God, we can move into grace and compassion. And with God's presence with us, we can be bold and take our full place in the kingdom of God. We can know that this is our next step. And yet the truth is, we don't know what the rest of the future holds. We don't know the rest of the journey. There will be difficult places. That's true. And yet we listen in community and do this work together as we wait, as we listen, as we listen for the next leading and the next, step by step. The one who comes is called Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuel, God with us, is still coming today, is still present with us. And that, I think, is the greatest promise of the Christmas story, that God is with us. Let us wait in open worship as we listen to God, as we invite God to speak directly to us. May we be faithful. May we share those leadings that come so that we can hear the full story of what God is doing in our midst today. Let us listen.